You want to think about, what can I do to make people open my email? Now that they open it, what can I do for them to read it? Like, every sentence should be really fucking good, and it should be short if I can.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
Hey guys, this is Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw here for another Startup Chat episode. Heaton, my man, how's it going?
Can't complain.
You're going to keep saying can't complain, right, for every episode?
Absolutely. Nobody's right. Listening.
All right. What are we going to talk about today, Heaton?
So I had a question for you, and I wanted to talk about something that I know you do pretty well. And if you don't, let me know, because it'll still be an interesting discussion. But I think most of us have some kind of problem with emailing people out of the blue cold emails.
Yep.
Despite that, I think a lot of us know the value of it. I mean, I know I get a lot of cold emails. I actually do respond to some of them. Usually they don't have anything to do with trying to sell me something, the ones I respond to at least. I just wanted to get your take on it because I know you're good at it.
Awesome. Yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, it's a big topic, right? I think if we start at the top and work our way down to more specific thing, it's going to be interesting. I think that overall, yeah, sending somebody an email can be an incredibly effective way to get shit done. Or to get connected with somebody and get a chance to, you know, make a pitch, make a proposal, be helpful, get help. I think that there's a lot of things that people do wrong and a lot of things that people can get right to make cold email really work. But I think more than that, that's kind of step number two. Step number one is sending the damn email in the first place. I think too many people are afraid of it. To me, people are afraid of even the thought of being rejected by having that person never replying to them, right? Which is kind of the most mindfuck thing ever. You're like, I really want to send an email to Heaton, but because I think I'm not important enough and I assume he's never going to reply, I'm going to feel bad for a second. And then that feeling of rejection that I've just created in my own mind will stop me from ever writing that email. And that's just, that's human insanity. It's the way that we mindfuck ourselves into procrastination and then not really taking that step that could change our life or make a big difference. So I think, and then there's lots of people that rationalize that by saying, oh, cold email is spam and I hate cold email. I would never cold email someone. That's such a bad quality way of doing business, blah, blah, blah. It's all bullshit. To me, I'm not a fan of cold email. I'm not like, this is, you know, religious about it. Oh, cold email is the best thing ever. And I'm not stupid either saying it doesn't work, because I know it does. To me, sending an email to somebody I don't know is one possible way and one possible tactic to use. In some cases, it makes a lot of sense. In some cases, it doesn't. And if I do it, there's some things to consider to be effective and hopefully successful. But I'm pragmatic about it. I think that anybody and everybody needs to be using that as a tool in business and in life in general.
When does it make sense?
That's a good question. When does it make sense? I think it makes most sense when you have something to offer and something specific to ask for, right? I'm sure you do get this a lot, but too many people think because they're sending out cold emails, they don't have to understand the person they're sending that email to. They don't have to have a real value proposition. They're not really thoughtful about that email. So then they write something that's as generic as possible because they know, hey, since this is a cold email, I'm going to have to write this or send this email to tons of people because nobody replies to my emails because they're so shitty. So I'm just going to make this as boilerplate as possible and send it to thousands of people. I think that's a bad idea. And that's what gives cold emails a bad name and a bad rep. So I think that it doesn't, the cold emails, if you write something that could be written for anyone and everyone, it's worthless. Don't even send it. Take just one more moment to truly ask yourself, do I really understand the person I'm sending the email to? And do I have a real need right now to ask that person for something? I mean, I get a ton of emails where at the end of the email, I'm asking myself, so what do you want from me? Like, what's the action item here? Why do you write me this email? Tell me about your life story. And at the end, I still don't know what you want me to do, right? It's crazy to me. So a lot of times I feel like people are inspired and they think, oh, Heaton, I need to reach out to him to tell him about my business. But they really haven't thought about it thoroughly enough to ask themselves, can Heaton really help me? And what do I want him to help me with? And why would that be a good thing for him? Like, what do I have to offer in return? Why is this something meaningful to propose? So ask yourself, do you have something to offer? And then ask yourself, do you truly need help from this person? Is there something very specific this person can do for you? And only then send a cold email.
I like that. So send an email with a purpose. How do you decide who to send the email to? Like, how do you even think about that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, there's probably multiple buckets, but to simplify, there's probably kind of people that are very famous, that have strong name recognition that you just know, right? Oh, I'm in SaaS. Heaton is like the guy in SaaS. So because I'm working on something, here's an authority, a celebrity, whatever you want to call it, somebody that has big name recognition. And hence, I'm going to try to reach out to ask for something from that person. That's one thing that typically happens. The other one is when people ask themselves, well, I need more customers for my product, or I need investors, or I need the press to write about it. And then what they do is they just look at generically a category and they say, well, I'm selling to directors of marketing, so I'll try to get a list of all people with that title and I'm going to send them a cold email. Or I want press, so what are the press outlets I want to have? So let me find anyone and everyone that works at these outlets and send them an email to pitch them my story. I think where people make big mistakes when it comes to even asking themselves, who do I want to send this email to, is that they go too generic. Again, right? They go, oh, I'm selling to directors of marketing, so I'm going to go to some bullshit website. I'm going to type in that title and the 10,000 results going to come out. I'm going to just email all of them. And the problem with that is that directors of marketing is not specific enough. Like, who's your customer exactly today? Do you have a paying customer? If you have a paying customer, okay, maybe his title or her title is director of marketing, but how big is the team they're working in? What industry is the company in? What other tools do they use? How did they hear about you? Like, what you want to do is you want to go as narrow as possible at the beginning, usually too narrow, so narrow that you think, well, this only covers 20 people on this planet. That's good. That's a good thing. Start with those 20 people and then make small circles that are bigger and bigger and go broader and broader in very small steps versus going super broad and drawing such a massive circle that it encompasses the entire planet, which is where usually most people make the mistake in determining who they want to send an email to. Let me ask you something. Have you ever sent a cold email?
Me?
Yeah. So when was the last time you sent somebody a cold email?
So I don't remember the last time, but I usually send an email when I run into an interesting product.
Okay.
Like a SaaS product or just something that's interesting, and I've sent a cold email, you know, offering help or just, you know, singing the praises of what I like about it.
That's awesome. Generally speaking, did you get good responses on that?
Yeah, I usually do. Yeah.
I bet.
It's the hit rate's probably like 60%, but yeah, I get responses.
Yeah, I mean, today you do have such a brand that probably will create different results for you than for other people. But I think that overall, everybody likes praise. If you send me an email and you tell me, Stelly, you're awesome. You know, I just watched this video and I loved it because of X, Y, and Z. Keep doing your shit. I'm going to feel good about it and I'm going to reply to you and thank you. Say thank you that you took the time to send me this. This is really motivating. Put a smile on my face. Let me know if I ever can do anything for you. That's how I end my emails. That's a good time now to reply and ask me for help, right? Most people don't, and then some people do and are smart about it. Or offering something like praising somebody's product or the content they put out there is a good thing to do. If you're authentic, if you truly mean it, right? Sometimes I get emails that are super fake in their praise, and again, it's so generic. I know for a fact they've never seen any of my shit. They're just like, hey, Mr. FD, you know, I really like your product and what your company is doing is truly innovative. Like, just by the formulation of that sentence, I know they don't know me. This is a template, right? They know, somebody who knows my shit would never write like that to me. All right, but it's cool. So when you see a product, when you see a company that you think is cool, you'll reach out and say, hey, I like the product. I like what you guys are doing. If you ever need help, let me know. That's an awesome way to go. I had a guy the other day send me a cold email, not cold email, but a cold message on Facebook saying, hey, big fan. I saw that you're at a conference in 2 weeks in my city. I've been living here for 10 years. I know everything. You need new socks. You need somebody to pick you up from the airport. You need whatever the fuck you need. I'll organize it for you. Just think of me as your personal assistant. Can I pick you up from the airport? Can I do something for you? And that's very fucking smart, because now what's going to happen is that guy's going to pick me up from the airport versus me just taking a cab. and he's going to have 20 minutes of my undivided attention, right?
That's pretty good.
To pitch me, to ask me questions, to do whatever. And I'm going to be thankful. It's going to be more interesting to me to be with an entrepreneur in the car than with a cab driver in a car, right? So
absolutely.
It's an effective way of using my time. It's easy for me to say yes to that. And he got a 20-minute meeting, which it would be impossible for him to get in Palo Alto, where I live, or at that conference, because I'd be too busy speaking, doing all kinds of things. But picking me up from the airport, so smart. He's offering value, and he's going to get a lot of my time in return.
That's awesome. That's a good example. Do you have other examples of like either cold emails you've sent or cold emails people have sent you where it's been effective, or you know, it follows the sort of framework you use?
Yeah. So first of all, in terms of framework, the way that I would think about emails, cold or warm, doesn't matter whatever, you know, if it's inbound or outbound, the way I think about it is in a step-by-step process. So I think first it needs to be opened, right? That's the very first. I mean, first it needs to be delivered, but let's take that aside. The email needs to be opened. If it's not opened, it never existed. So the subject line to me is the most important thing you can write. Right? If your subject line sucks and I never open your email, it doesn't matter what you do afterwards. So that's the first thing. Now, once I open the email, I need to read it. So you need to be able to write really effectively. It should be short. Every sentence is really a pitch to the reader to keep reading one more sentence. Like, you can't bury the lead. A lot of times people write the best shit. They save it for last, at the end of the fucking email. I never get to that point. If the first two sentences seem like they're wasting my time, I'm just going to archive it. I don't delete emails, but I just archive everything. So I'm never going to read it. So you want to think about, what can I do to make people open my email? Now that they open it, what can I do for them to read it? Like, every sentence should be really fucking good, and it should be short if I can. Then you need them to respond, right? You want them to take some kind of an action item, and it can't be 12 calls to action. It's just like with a website or any other product design. The email can only have one call to action, and it should be simple. It can't be ambiguous. And then you need to have a game plan, you know, for the people that don't take the action. What's my follow-up strategy and follow-up plan, right? Most people will read it, open it, read it, but then never take the action. What can I do to follow up in a creative and a smart way to inspire, maybe at a better time, for a response? That's the framework that I use, and that's the way that I would work through writing an email, cold or warm. Now, I think that a lot of times people over-optimize for certain things. So I get the question a lot, which is like, what's the best email subject line you've ever seen, the most effective one? And I always tell the same example. The most effective subject line for cold email I've ever seen in my life was an email I got. I was like 3 days on a kind of mini trip over the weekend. I check back into my inbox and I have like a few hundred emails, and I love that we hear your kids in the background. I instantly zoom into one subject line that started with the words, I'm very disappointed, dot, dot, dot. And I immediately, just subconsciously, I zoomed into that email, and I thought to myself,
you have to open it.
And I think, what did I fuck up? What did we do wrong in our company? Who did something bad to our customers? Like, instantly all our alarm bells, all red flags are, you know, on max. And I click on that. You have to open that. I'm disappointed in you or something. I'm very disappointed, dot, dot, dot. And the email continues with that we haven't been able to connect. Right. And then, you know, I've sent you a few emails, blah, 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 blah. And in that moment, I go, you motherfucker, you tricked me into opening your emails and getting almost a heart attack. That was a brilliant subject line. Delete. I didn't keep reading it. Because at the end of the day, the way that I think about this is that, yes, you want to write a subject line that people will open. But if you start our relationship by tricking me into panic, fuck you. Right? I'm not going to read your email. Right? If there's a massive disconnect between the subject line and what you deliver then in your email message, I'm going to feel like our relationship isn't starting off on the best foot, and there's not a massive amount of trust that's been built. So you can do crazy shit. You could write in a subject line, I have your kids, and you'll get a crazy amount of open rate. I'm sure even people without kids would open that email immediately. I have your kids hostage. We'll get you a great open rate, but that probably won't get your business to move forward in any meaningful way, right? Because you're tricking people into taking an action that they would not have had, and you're promising something in the subject line that you're not delivering on. I had somebody else sending me an email once that started with the re, right? As if it was a reply to something. Re something, and I open it, and it says, hey, Stelly, nice trick, huh? I use the re because I've noticed then I get 20% more open rates. And he keeps writing. And I just, at that point, I'm like, yeah, that's a cool trick or hack, but I'm not going to read the rest of your email. Right? Don't trick me into open it if what you are promising you're not delivering, if it's dishonest in some way. So you need to be careful with over-optimizing being successful with a certain percentage number at some point. If the overall experience that you're delivering to the person that's reading your email is a bad one or a dishonest one. So that's kind of the framework. That's also what's been effective. Effective is something where the overall experience is good, where, you know, you can use something short like, and this is overused. So you guys, if you listen to this, don't use this anymore. But like, help me out here is like a super effective one. Or quick chat. Like, quick chat, help me out here, you know, your name, comma, with some question. These kind of super short generic email lines are very effective. A lot of times, if you have a misspelling in the subject line, it'll get a bump in your open rates. Because again, anything that seems like a real human wrote it to another human being will get better open rates, better response rates than anything that looks like a marketing message. If you like capitalize, if you write something like, the 10 ways CloseIO is going to help your business grow sales, that does not sound like a human being wrote it to one other human being. That sounds like a marketing newsletter or subject line or something like that. So whenever something sounds super generic or one too many, open rates will go down, response rate will go down. So you want to keep things short. Don't capitalize. Maybe you have a misspelling. Keep things, you know, as human as possible, but at the same time, be honest and keep a certain balance of like delivering what you're promising in your subject line. And then also in your cold email, and keep it short if you can in the very first email. At least I want you to respect my time. If your first email is the fastest way for me to delete your email is if your email is like 10 pages long, the very first email you ever written to me. That means you don't respect your own time. You don't respect my time. I don't have half my day to spend with your email. So I just assume by default that you don't have anything valuable to offer. So you want to keep things short and sweet if you can and relevant. And then at the end of the day, really, my number one tip is when you get people to respond to your emails, learn more from these people about what about your email was successful. Like, how about calling the people that respond to your emails and doing a quick survey and asking them, hey, quick question, when you opened my email, what did you expect reading that subject line? Hey, when you took the action that I asked you for, why did you do that? What about it was compelling? What did you like? Was it good timing? Learn from your prospects, learn from the people that you send the emails to and try to learn why did they like it? Why did they respond to it? And do more of that. Right? Or when they don't respond to it, maybe you want to pick up the phone and call when you see somebody opened your email but never replied and ask them, say, hey, I just want 2 minutes. I know that you never replied to my email. And all I want to know is why, so I can learn and do a better job and not waste people's time anymore. What about my email sucked? What did I do wrong? And you'll see that people will go, oh, no, it was not you, but, you know, and then they'll tell you a good reason or something valuable that you can use to improve your emails and do a better job down the line.
I like it. One thing I keyed on with what you said is just this idea of being human, but also not being manipulative. So, you know, when I think about subject lines, and mine are usually, if yours are sales and they're cold emails, so to speak, or even warm ones,
yep.
Mine tend to be more marketing emails.
Yep.
So today, one, for marketing emails, it's just like, I have an email box. This might even be the tip. This is going to be my tip script. And so I have an email that I created, and I sign up for all kinds of marketing emails. I'm mainly doing it just to see what people are sending, yeah. and kind of get subject line inspiration. For example, there's this guy in the internet marketing world called Frank Kern, and his emails are awesome in terms of getting you to click, getting you to open. And just today, I just sent an email. It got sent while we were talking because it was automated, but the subject line is, ha, it worked. And that was one of Frank Kern's email subjects. And I'm like, let me try that out. And this was just in relation to people that wanted early access to a survey I was doing, the data from the survey. And so I think, you know, what I realized about subject lines is the more it feels like what you're saying is coming from a friend or yep. somebody you already know,
yep.
the more likely it is to be opened and et cetera. And obviously, you don't want to be spammy or, you know, cause people to have the feeling like you did, which is like, oh, you know, like, I didn't do anything wrong. What are you trying to tell me, right?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about it, just being human. And so my tip was just basically, it's really easy to get inspired by other people's emails. because they're sending them already, and you can basically create a sort of separate email box just so that you don't get it in your main email box. And anytime you want